Hey everyone, welcome to the first ever Those Bench Warmers podcast, where we know sports because we had the best view in the house. I'm Rob, and those other bench warmers are Derek and Riley. Previously, we have posted videos on YouTube discussing the Dodgers, but I've come to realize it's harder to meet up to make videos than it is to make a podcast. And also, we will be discussing everything sports related and not just the Dodgers anymore. But don't get mad if our West Coast bias is strong. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, guys, it's February. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. The sport that brought us together, baseball, is around the corner. So my question for you guys is, where do you think Bryce and Manny are going to end up? Who's going to win the Bryce Harper Manny Machado sweepstakes?
I don't know if it's going to be a winner depending on how much they pay, but I think that the White Sox will get one of them. I would say Machado. And I am going to go with the home field advantage. I think the Nationals are going to end up back with Harper. He's not going to find anything he wants, and it's going to be that awkward walk back home, the walk of shame almost for Harper as he goes back to Washington.
I want to say that he'll probably end up – I think he's going to end up in San Diego because I think he just met with the San Diego Brass again – or it was actually – both of them recently met with San Diego Brass, so I honestly think San Diego may have a good chance at getting both players and possibly, you know, setting themselves up well in the NL West.
It's all thanks to AJ Ellis. Put AJ Ellis in the front office of the Padres, and look what happens.
He should have come to the Dodgers. That's what I've been saying all along. Ever since AJ Ellis left the Dodgers, they haven't been the same. Don't talk to me about the two World Series. I know AJ Ellis wasn't there for that, but
the only person AJ Ellis affected is Kershaw. Outside of that, Dodgers have done really well.
So maybe we bring him back just to catch Kershaw's games. The Dodgers are so creative with the roster, they can easily put a guy in the 10-day DL. Ellis starts those two, and then put AJ Ellis on the 10-day. It's predicting.
I like the idea.
It's not called the DL anymore.
Oh, that's right, the injured list, yeah. Right?
I mean, I like the idea only because, like, is Austin Barnes really that much better than AJ Ellis?
No, Russell Martin.
Well, yeah, but Martin will sit once every 5 days, though, because isn't that how catchers do it these days? They don't play every day. Do they?
No, not the Dodgers ones. There's a thing in Sports Illustrated. The Dodgers had one guy start off more than 100 games. Two guys start more than 100 games at the same spot, Puig and Grandal. And both those guys are gone. Which leads me to my question. Sports Illustrated had an interview with Puig, and they asked him, based on what the Dodgers got in return, a lot of people thought it was a strange deal. Here's what Puig said. He said, "Me too. From what I've seen the last few years, the Dodgers haven't gotten anybody good. Every time we say we need this, this, and this to reach our goal, which is the World Series, not just the playoffs, because we've been to the playoffs 6 years, that's nice, but we haven't won. The only thing we're getting is one more month instead of being on vacation. Oh, I went to the playoffs. Yay. What did you do? Nothing. I've been to the World Series twice, but didn't win either. It's as if you did nothing. Do you agree with Puig that A, the Dodgers haven't gotten anything good the last few years, and B, going to the World Series and not winning is nothing?" Rob?
Whew. You know what? I'm gonna agree with them only because there's nothing I can brag about with my frowning. We all have a lot of friends that are fans of other teams. Me specifically, I have tons of friends that are Giants fans, and getting to the World Series to them, you know, they got their championship, so they tell us, yeah, we got to the World Series, but we got nothing. So I want to say, Puig's right, Dodgers got nothing.
Yeah, I completely agree. My sister lives in NorCal. She's been a Giants fan since, like, when was their first World Series? Like
2010?
Yeah, so she's been a Giants fan since 2010. So she rubs that in my face. They had 2010, 2012, and 2014, I believe. So I completely understand with what Puig is saying. I've never experienced a Dodgers World Series championship. That's the one thing I'm waiting for. And that would complete my sports life, I believe. So unfortunately, I do agree with him. If they go back-to-back-to-back and lose back-to-back-to-back, it's going to be the second time that one of my teams have done that, because UCLA did that with the three Final Fours. So, and they, in my eyes, did nothing with those those Final Four runs, too. So I completely agree with him. I wish Puig was still a Dodger. I know AJ Pollock is a great hitter, but I mean their numbers are basically the same, and Puig stays a little healthier than AJ Pollock, so it's gonna take a lot for AJ Pollock to win me over since he's taking over for Puig.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be hard. Puig really endeared himself to Dodger fans and really matured. I mean, look, his answer, he's throwing shade at the front office, but you really have to read into it to see, and I mean that just shows the maturity that he's developed in the last 5 years, and I'm gonna miss him a lot too.
But kind of build off now Derek's answer in terms of bandwagon fans. What do you guys think it takes to get off being considered a bandwagon fan? Because I think we had this discussion maybe on Twitter about the Rams, where a lot of LA fans, you know, jumped on the wagon, but LA had no team before the Rams, so is it a bad thing that they were supporting the Rams? So I was basically, at what point is it that we're not bandwagon fans anymore?
All right, I have an answer for this.
All right,
so,
you go first.
I will say, when the Rams left, people were allowed to switch teams. I loved the LA Rams when I was 6 years old. I didn't know any better. 5 years old when they left. So I jumped ship. I think you're allowed to jump ship when your team leaves a city. They came back. I think people are allowed to jump back on. But if you jump back on when McVay got there or when McVay started winning, then you have to endure a losing season and stick with the team and still be a diehard, quote unquote, to get off that bandwagon set. Because if you came back when they came back, all right, you dealt with Jeff Fisher. Congratulations, you're a true fan. Other people who didn't were like, ah, oh, no, they're back, I don't care. And then they got McVay and they had some success the year before, and then they had a lot of success this year. You got to endure a bad season before you are officially, you know, not a bandwagon. Because that means you're on the bandwagon. Anyone can jump on a bandwagon when it's going smoothly. When you hit those bumps and you stay on the bandwagon, that's when you're no longer a bandwagon and you've kind of reserved your seat as a true fan, in my opinion.
So it's safe to say all Warrior fans are still bandwagon fans.
You could make that argument.
I guess.
You could make that argument.
I completely
agree. They did lose 3-1, so if you stuck with them through that, I mean, that's a little bit of a bump there. I think that you're on your way to becoming a true fan. But yeah, I think
I completely agree with you. If you have to stick with your team through thick and thin. The Super Bowl run, the last year, them going, what, 11-5? The Dodger fans that I've been seeing at the park, I mean, I know most Dodger fans are diehard, but the new ones that are like, I don't know, 18, 20 years old, the millennials that probably find baseball boring, if they're Dodger fans right now, they gotta be Dodger fans when they're losing 100 games. Like, that's how you get off the bandwagon, is your loyalty to them for a bad team. And that's the one way I know you're a Clipper fan, is because, I mean, the Clipper fans...
They haven't had a good year.
I mean, with your answer about them making the playoffs and not doing... Or the Dodgers making the World Series and not winning, and that's them doing nothing, I mean, the Clippers have done nothing forever, so...
Yeah, you are a true Clipper fan, and I think most Clipper fans are true Clipper fans. I will give them that.
Yeah, the 10 of us, we enjoy it really much.
But you gotta sit through the 2004 Dodgers to get off that bandwagon, because that team was awful.
2004?
Yeah.
Wait, the dot?
Yeah, 2004. The, was that the Jason Phillips started the most?
2005.
2005 Dodgers, yes. 2005 Dodgers.
I mean, I think it's safe to say that we're all diehard Dodger fans here. None of us are bandwagon Dodger fans, because we've liked them since Jason Phillips. I've liked them since Piazza. Rob has loved them since, what, Milton Bradley?
Since 1988.
Since 1988.
When he was born. No, we were all, yeah, I agree. It was... When we first knew what baseball was, it was Dodgers right away.
We created a podcast for our YouTube series for them.
That is true. So that's how you get off the bandwagon. I mean, my example was also the Kings. There's so many Kings fans after they won those two Stanley Cups. What was it, two Stanley Cups?
Yeah.
I don't know how many Kings fans there are right now. I haven't seen a lot of Kings flags flying around. I mean...
I like how they created the hop on the wagon, I think, promo on their Instagram, where they put people just jumping on an actual wagon.
You gotta embrace it if you're that team.
Heck yeah.
And, well, I have a question, actually, to piggyback off Rob's question. If you're the Chargers, now that they've made the playoffs, and next year, if you sell out and they're actually Chargers fans at your home games, do you accept those fans, or do you, I don't know, treat them like Chris Bosh treated his fans in Miami?
I think if you're the Chargers, you take whatever you can get.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you gotta.
Do you gotta, it. Yeah, you gotta embrace them and make them become loyal fans. Not by having a losing season, but.
And luckily for them, the Rams didn't win, so there's still a chance for them to kind of. I mean, the key to having a big fan base is getting that bandwagon fan base to jump on your wagon. So if they would, if they're able to come back next year, win a Super Bowl before the Rams do, then, I mean, I think they'll get a head start once the new stadium opens up and just build a bigger fan base. And you'll see a lot of those San Diego fans calling back after that too. Because one, Philip Rivers, you know, he's basically great. He grew up in San Diego, so, or in terms of his whole career. So, I mean, there's still people that support him. And I think if he's in the Super Bowl, you're going to get a lot of those fans wanting him to get that ring and then just kind of jump on that wagon.
I mean, it's safe for me to say, I think, if it weren't for Philip Rivers, the greatest quarterback or the one with the most passing yards could be on the Chargers. Drew Brees would have never left, I think.
It's possible. I think his injury is the big thing. But yeah, them having an easy backup plan in Manning or Rivers is probably a good way for them to let him go and not feel like they were losing anything. So on that fandom note, you know, college basketball, my favorite sport. We're approaching March. We're approaching the time when people start to care about college basketball. The true fans.
It looks like we ran out of time for this podcast.
I'm kidding. My question is, if you could visit any college arena and sit in the student section, who would you sit or where would you go visit and which team would you want them to be playing?
Oh, that's an easy one for me. I mean, right now when we're filming or recording, we're watching Duke play, what's it,
NC State? Yeah.
I would love to be sitting with the Cameron Crazies when UNC comes to town. I mean, that's just an unbelievable atmosphere. I mean, they have the Cameron Crazies. You can't get a better student section name than that.
That's true. And who would you want them to play?
UNC.
Obviously. Okay, Rob, you went to a D1 school, unlike Derek and I, so you've seen D1 basketball.
I went to CSUN.
Okay,
CSUN.
Fine. You went to a D1 school for undergrad, unlike Derek and I was a D3. Derek was D2. Where would you go? You've seen the action as a student section. You've been to a student section before.
Right, yeah. We will win.
Again, you cheered against
San Diego State. I did cheer against San Diego State because I was annoyed with the bandwagon fans. Well, if I had to choose, I would want to go. It's not a specific school. I would want to go to like a small, maybe a D2 school, but where you get someone like Duke visiting, NC State or North Carolina visiting, and have that experience where, I mean, these people would probably be the most pumped up game they've ever had, and seeing Duke lose, that'd be great. I think that's where I would.
We have some small California. LMU almost beat Gonzaga. That's a pretty big deal. We could have gone to see that.
Actually, can I change my answer? Actually, I mean, I would still love to go to a Duke UNC game at Duke, but maybe Taylor University. I would like to go during Silent Night.
Oh, the Silent Night where they don't cheer until the ten point. That
and
would
then
be
they,
awesome.
They throw everything and they actually clean up the court before they actually start playing. But have you seen the tradition?
Yeah.
I would love to go to that game. Just that game. I don't care who they play. Just a Taylor University Silent Night.
I think I'd like him to score 8 points in the first half and then see the explosion that would happen after half. If they did that, do you think the fans can go to like order at the concession stand? Because you have to talk to order food at the concession stand. How would that work?
I think I could just type it into my phone. We're millennials, right? I want nachos.
Oh, man. I mean, since we're on basketball still, what do you guys think about the whole Lakers situation? I mean, do you think they'll get AD? Do you think they'll make the playoffs? I mean, is LeBron good for them? I don't think he is.
Is that an unbiased opinion, Rob, that LeBron is not good for them? Or
that was a very, very biased opinion.
I mean, I agree that with this, the way that the Lakers are built right now, I don't think LeBron was good for them because LeBron is in win-now mode and the Lakers in the past couple years was, let's build our youth and let's build for the future. And now that they're in win-now mode, I don't think he was good for them because now he wants to blow it up. I mean, it's good that they didn't get AD at the trade deadline because they would have ruined all the work in progress and just would have, like I said, blown it up and traded probably all of their youngsters. But I do agree that he's not good for them for that reason. That I think he's not letting them progress the way that the Lakers were letting them progress earlier.
Yeah, I disagree. I think LeBron is great for them. You know, we had a lot of young guys. I mean, look at the guys they brought in from an, you know, a leadership perspective. Rondo, you know, solid, tough player. Tyson Chandler, solid, tough player. LeBron James, you know, is LeBron James. So you got guys around them that will can teach them how to win and teach them what they got to do. But yeah, I think there's a lot of personnel there. They don't have shooters, so it's tough. You know, in today's NBA, with the roster that they have, it's tough to, you know, to get, you know, their one shooter in college, Mykhailiuk, they traded away. So like they don't have any shooters. So I really think that, you know, we're going to see them make some moves in the offseason that are designed to build a more complete roster. And if that means getting rid of Ingram or even Ball, I think that that's definitely a possibility. I feel like the young guys they have, there's a lot of good pieces there, but, you know, it's just not coming together right now. Partially because, you know, it's hard when you lose a lot to feel like you're building towards something. Especially when you have LeBron on the team and, you know, someone like Tyson Chandler and Rondo. My big hope, though, is that Luke Walton comes to UCLA. So, suck Lakers, suck. Tank Lakers, tank. Let's get Walton fired so he can come down the street to Westwood and get him coaching those Bruins for the next 30, 40 years.
Or across the hallway to the Clippers.
I mean, cannot.
Don't take my dream. I've been talking about this since the beginning of the season. I need Walton at UCLA, so you cannot take that dream from me.
As one of the only 10 Clipper fans in LA, Rob, would you rather have Luke Walton over Doc?
Probably not. I do like Doc, so I mean, I think he's a great coach. He's good. I think a lot of players like playing for Doc just because he's a player's coach outside of the whole Austin Rivers thing, even though I do think Austin Rivers is pretty decent, as a lot of people are saying now. He's doing pretty well at the Rockets.
Well, I mean, his dad did save his career, because if it weren't for his dad, he probably would be playing in the G League right now. So,
I mean, probably, I mean, the guy, he's a 3-and-D guy. So, I mean, he's in today's
NBA. He fits well.
And he has good handles, too. That's, I think, was a very underrated skill for him. But maybe we should have based our podcast around Austin Rivers.
But we are the Austin Rivers. He is those bench warmer. Oh, he is a bench warmer of.
That's right.
He would be NBA.
He'd be our mascot.
No, our mascot would be Adam Morrison.
Good old Adam Morrison.
But he never made it. So then, I don't know. He cried too.
Well, speaking of minor league systems, last week, did you guys see the Alliance of American Football, the AAF? Have you guys heard of the AAF?
I've heard it. I have not watched the game.
Well, same here.
Since you guys have been listening to the Business Wars, how long do you think AAF is going to last? Do you think it's going to get defunct in 3 years, 5 years?
I think one of the things I learned from that Business War podcast so far is that, you know, the USFL had a decent thing going. Their problem was they started to take on the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I mean, football in the spring, you know, people love football. You know, it's not there. Spring games in the South for colleges attract like hundreds of thousands of people, I think. So, you know, there's definitely an appetite for it. The USFL's problems, based on that podcast, were the weather made it difficult to, you know, see good games. And they ended up trying to go against the NFL. And you can't go against the king. You know, if they stick true to the traditional football that people think of, you know, the head hitting and the CTE and all of that stuff, I think they got a shot. But I don't think we'll ever see it explode into one of the major sports like we have basketball, football, and baseball.
Yeah, definitely. I think their best chance to survive is they got to work with the NFL in terms of just being a minor league.
Definitely.
Or the NFL maybe sponsors the league, but... With that also, you're going to have to give up some of the hard hitting of the quarterbacks or whatever it is. And just to last, you just got to work with the NFL. I mean, the NFL they're the biggest TV thing. They're the biggest thing on TV. So, I mean, whether it's sports, politics, or anything like that, the NFL is king right now. I mean, it's a tough thing to battle.
Yeah, they need to be in alliance with the NFL. It's the name of their league. They should get after it.
Hope you enjoyed the first ever Those Benchwarmers podcast. We'll keep the bench warm and bring some more content in the upcoming months. Talk to y'all next time.